I'd just like to welcome you all to the session tonight. As you can see, things are going to be done slightly differently from usual, but I'm sure it'll be very beneficial. Rona is going to share with us about healing, and it's going to be more reflections on the experience of healing, praying for healing, practical healing, rather than going through the scriptures looking at every verse on healing. So just before Rona shares with us, I'd just like to open with prayer. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a healing God. And Father, we believe that it is in your heart to bring healing to people. So Father, we do just ask that even now you would just use Rona to speak to each one of us, to give us new insights into healing, how we can know your plan and purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. Well, we all come to this meeting, this gathering about healing with different experiences, and also maybe different experiences from the church we come from, or maybe different experiences that we have had. Either people praying for us or us praying for other people. And really, it's not, I'm no expert about this, but it's just that God uses me in healing ministry. And so, in a way, we share together and learn together. And I will have to share a lot of the things that have happened to me, because as you will appreciate, and as I appreciate, or maybe you won't appreciate it, but I appreciated when I started thinking of examples, I couldn't share them because they were somebody else's story. So if stories are a bit boring because they're all Rona stories, well, I'm sorry, that's the reason. It's all confidentiality and the fact that people wouldn't like to think that, oh, I'm not going to her to ask for prayer because she'll tell the story in another church. You know, that's how it goes. So it's because of confidentiality that it's rather my experience based. But we also may come with different expectations, not quite knowing what is going to happen, what it's going to be like. Really, what I'd say from the beginning is, I believe that God is the person in charge of this evening, and I hope it's going to be God who shows us the way ahead. And we also may come with different experiences of gifts of the Holy Spirit. We may, in a way, be a bit, I do feel sometimes, a little bit frustrated with God that I can pray for somebody and they get a gift and I think, well, why doesn't God give that to me? You know, and there's all this mixed agenda with gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we have to focus on the things that God has given us. None of them are better or lesser than the others, but we must minister in the gifts that we have at this time and trust God to give us the abilities that we need for whatever situation he takes us into to minister. And some of us may be a bit frustrated because we've been praying and praying, maybe for years, for 20 years, and God hasn't answered it. And we may feel, oh, why hasn't he answered this? And do I still have to keep on praying? I'm afraid you do. And we may also be feeling a little bit angry with things that have happened, which we think, well, that really doesn't feel fair. And so I'm going to start this evening in a slightly different way. I think we need to take some time to be quiet with God and let him speak to us and show us what are the things that are getting in the way of us really serving him in the way that he wants us to serve him. We'll just be quiet, and could I suggest that you put both feet on the floor and that you just put your hands on your knees. And this is a spiritual exercise, so as you breathe out in, breathe in the Holy Spirit, and you breathe out all the rubbish that's cluttering up your life. And as we sit quietly, if there's something comes to your mind that you think you need to sort out with God, I just invite you to come to the front, there's some salt, and just throw it in the bowl, and you'll see it disappear because God has taken it. Let's just affirm our faith by singing the last verse again. In Thee, O God, do I put my trust. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Tonight we come in the presence of Jesus, who said, I am the one, I came to release people, to set them free, so that they can follow me. Now this morning when I was actually reading my, when I was reading my Bible and finishing preparation for this, or not finishing as God was changing it at that time, God said to me, I want to release the people who come tonight so that they can pray for my church. If my people will confess their sins and seek my face and pray, then I will bless them and I will show them things they have not seen before. And I think that is what we can expect to happen tonight, that we begin to see things that we haven't seen before. The gift of healing was so much a part, healing was so much a part of Jesus' life. And when we think of him going through Palestine, I guess some people come to mind, to our minds, who came to Jesus for healing. I wonder if we could share some of those people with us. I always remember the woman who just put her finger out to be healed and was healed, because she had faith to be healed, but then had to confess that it was her who'd been healed and give her testimony in front of the crowd.
I think of the lepers who came, and particularly the witnesses, there was one leper, he fell down before Jesus and Jesus touched him.
Yes.
Which for him must have been amazing.
To touch the untouchable.
And the man who had been waiting so long by the pool to be healed. And Jesus healed him.
Mm-hmm. He must have had lots of feelings. Why not me? Why can't I get there? But one day he glorified God by his healing.
Bartimaeus sat by the roadside, but calling out and recognizing Jesus.
Yes.
Without sight.
Yes.
The man who was let down through the ceiling.
Yes, we'll think about him later on, David. Yes.
And whether he came or was brought might be a different question.
Yes, and whether it was his faith or the faith of his friends. That's also, yeah, so the great host of people who were influenced by Jesus, and there were all the people with the unclean spirits who were released from those, and the demons recognized Jesus, and then he silenced them because they recognized, even though some of the other people around didn't, that he was the Son of God. And then in the church, in 1 Corinthians, we have the list of gifts. I'll just read the list of gifts because it's the gifts from 1 Corinthians 12. And in the church, God has given a place first for apostles, second for prophets, and third for teachers. Then God has given a place for those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who are able to lead, and those who speak in different languages. Now, there's a whole list there, and in other parts of the New Testament, the letters, there are other lists. And they're all important because we need them all, but amongst them is the gift of healing. And I want to share a little about how I became aware that God wanted to use me to pray for people to be healed. And it was at the time when I was doing counselling courses, and I had become aware that sometimes I at church meetings I felt a sort of burning in my hands. And I shared this at the counselling meeting. And it said, and the leader said, that usually means that somebody needs healing. And that helped and didn't help, because I thought, well, what am I going to, now I know what it means, what do I do the next time it happens? And being me, I was more petrified that it would happen, and I didn't know what to do. And I must confess, I did confess at one church, it happened, at one church Bible study, it happened. And I said nothing. And then I got into a terrible mess trying to explain, because I was trying to explain it in Malay, because it was a group in Malaysia. And they thought I was asking them to organize a healing ministry, whereas I was really confessing that I had not done what the Lord wanted me to do, and it got a bit complicated, so we were operating in two languages, and eventually we sorted it out. But it is a bit of an uncomfortable gift, because it can happen, because you can feel that there's somebody there, or it's even worse when you ask somebody if they would like you to pray for them to be healing, which I have done to a friend, and she said no. So, again, and this was after, I must say that I had prayed for her in the past and she had been healed. But together with this sensation is, if I am praying for somebody to be healed, then I also get, I can also quietly discern how to pray for them. So it's, so God also helps, gives another sort of gift, which pinpoints how to pray for that person. Now, I am not saying that you, and this is very clear, I am not saying that this is the only way that God manifests the gifts of healing. I am not saying only people who have these kinds of sensations can pray for people to be healed, because we have the example of Peter and John as they went to the temple. It doesn't say anything about their hands, but it does say they had, the man looked at them, and in faith, in the faith in the name of Jesus, they prayed. And the guy was leaping and praising God as a testimony to the way that they prayed. Now, I wonder if there's anybody else here who would be prepared to share anything about how they've prayed for people to be healed. Or how... Off, it's okay, I'll carry on. Or have any experience of praying for people to be healed. Never mind. One of the ways that we used to pray for people to be healed in Malaysia was praying like the friends of the paralytic, who they brought their friend to Jesus and they prayed for him. Now we could, I would like us now to just see if we could do that. We all stand up. I mean, has somebody, anybody that comes to their mind that they would like to pray for?
I'm Clark.
Okay. So, oh, it doesn't matter if you come from a church, another church, and you don't know Anne, but we can all, in faith, pray for Anne. Now, we could pray... I like to put my hands like this as though I'm holding part of the blanket that's holding her. So we just sort of visualize that Anne is in the middle of us, and we are holding her there as we let the blanket down, or hold the blanket before Jesus so Jesus can heal. David, could you stand here because you're stuck in the middle of the blanket? Do it. And we could all pray together. Or if you don't want to pray aloud, you can pray silently. All right? But just concentrate on praying for Anne. Oh, Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just praise you for Anne. We just thank you for Anne. And we just bring her before you now, Lord. And we just ask you that you would bring deeper healing to her. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would care for her, that you would love her, that we pray that you would manage the pain that she is in. And we just praise you, Lord Jesus. We pray that your Holy Spirit would flow into her body and bring healing and comfort. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would guide her, and that you bless her, and that you would anoint her with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory for what you are doing in Anne's life, because you alone are the one to heal, and we are just your servants. And we just thank you that you use us in this way. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I wonder if there's anybody else that we could pray for.
Fraser Porthouse.
Sorry?
Fraser Porthouse.
Prince of Porthouse.
Fraser
Porthouse.
Well, yeah. Fraser comes to your church.
Right. Oh, does she?
My son.
Oh, right. Yeah.
All right.
Fair.
Okay. So, again. Oh Lord, we just pray you for bring Fraser before you. And we thank you for him. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would bless him. We pray that you would pour your Holy Spirit into his life. And we pray that, Lord Jesus, that you would put your hand upon him. And Lord, we pray that you would bring him to come healing. And Lord, but in Fenton, especially we pray that you would open his spirit, that he may know you. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for him. Thank you that you have brought him. Lord, we commit Fraser to you. And we just long, Lord Jesus, that in his child way he will know you, that he will be able to love you, and that you will work mightily in his heart and in his life. We commit him to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And could we also pray for the gentleman that you were praying for this morning, Jean?
Oh, for Alan Rowe, yes, that his leg will be healed completely so that he can go.
Yes, okay. Lord Jesus, we bring Alan before you. Oh Lord, we just thank you for him. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, that in a mighty way, that you would touch him and that you would bring healing to his leg and that you would empower him so that you would just bring healing and so that he would be able to go back to work. Oh Lord. Lord, we pray that you would bring healing and we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would fill him with the power of your Holy Spirit, that he might have every gift that he needs to serve and worship you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, shall we be seated now? There's one more person that we need to pray for, and that's Jess, but I just have to share with you a bit about an update on Jess, who is Rosie's daughter, who was diagnosed with Crohn's at 14 in 2000. In 2004, she had an 8-hour-long operation, and part of her gut was removed, so she really didn't have enough, very much gut left. And the surgeon, surgeon gave a prognosis that she would have 5 to 10 years to live. But in 2010, she was admitted again for colonoscopy operation, and Rosie stayed with her daughter Lucy, who had organised a taxi for her to go to the hospital. The driver was Ole, and he turned out to be a Nigerian Pentecostal Christian. And when we arrived at the hospital, I told him about my daughter, who was to be operated on, and that I was fearful, and asked if he would pray for her. And he told her that he was going to go straight to the prophet in his church and they would pray together. He told me that God knew I believed because I had asked, so I would have nothing to fear, that all would be well. He rang to ask me in the evening, and although it had taken 6 hours, the registrar said things had been better than expected. The next daughter, my daughter Jess, told me they had found 0.5 meter more small intestine than they had measured at the last operation. And they couldn't understand what had happened. Glory be to God. Jess is 28 in September and has survived 10 years since the surgeon gave her a life expectancy of 5 to 10 years, even if she followed a strict routine. She is still frail and having treatment in hospital, 6 weekly, and daily meds and diet. I am grateful for any prayers. Her colostomy has been reversed and she is able to eat most of the time. Sorry. How do we pray for Jess? I think we pray, praise God for what he's done and give him the glory, and pray that he would continue to glorify himself in her life. And we pray, Lord, that she would come really back to accept that Jesus has done this for her and give God the glory herself. Can we stand and pray? Lord, we're just amazed to hear this story, and we just praise you and give you all the glory for what you have done in Jess's life. And Lord, forgive us if sometimes these kind of stories take our breath away, because we just don't have the faith or the expectation that you will work in such a miraculous way. And it's such a good thing for us to hear, and such a good thing for us to know that you are still the wonder-working God who answers our prayer above and beyond what we dare to think of or imagine. And now let's just pray for Jess. Two things: for her continued healing and for her coming to know the Lord and really trust him in all his glory. Oh Lord Jesus, we just pray for Jess, and we just pray that you would continue to heal her. We thank you for all that you've done in her life, and we just pray, Lord Jesus, in a mighty way that you would continue to heal her. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bring her to a place where she can accept Jesus as her and allow Jeff's life in all in the fullness. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Sorry. Healing covers a whole area of things. It covers physical healing, it covers mental and emotional healing, and it also covers healing people who are possessed. However, the most important thing is that we actually trust God as we pray for people who are healed. And I just believe that God will not take us beyond what we're capable of doing. And usually when we're praying for something for healing, when we begin to pray for healing, we pray in groups. You take a friend with you so that you feel confident and that you can walk in faith to pray. One of the things that prevents us from having real freedom in Christ and really gets in the way of us are things that we have deep in our hearts. Maybe people who've hurt us, or things that have happened to us, which keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And actually, we could bring those to God and we could seek help to be healed from them. One of the biggest difficulties I think some of us have, or that Christians have is harbouring unforgiveness in their hearts. It may be somebody who has said something unkind to us at school. It may be something that has happened when we were very young, but when just occasionally we get back to that place and it takes away our joy in the Lord, it takes away our forgiveness, our joy in the Lord and our freedom in Christ. And it actually is like an irritant. It's always there, getting in the way. And actually Jesus longs to heal us, longs to forgive us. And actually we say in the Lord's Prayer about forgiveness, forgive us as we forgive other people. And so we have to really learn to come to God and keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. And a bit like Peter, we're a bit legalistic. We say, do we do it 7 times? No, we just have to keep doing it endlessly. And it's one of the problems. It's one of the things I have to face and face many times. Why should I? Why should I keep saying? And it's because God has forgiven me. Because God loves us in such a way that we cannot believe, do not deserve, and we keep on forgiving. And it witnesses, and our way of forgiving also witnesses. Other things that get in the way of us having freedom of Christ is memories of things that have happened to us. Now, there is another way of healing, which is called healing of memories. I don't know whether ever anybody's heard of that. And again, I would have to share something that happened to me because it's got to be my story. I didn't meet my father until I was 4 years old, because when I was 6 weeks old, he went to Palestine in the army. And when he came back from the army, I was about four and a half, and my cousin and I were sitting on the doorstep playing. Now, she is 9 months younger than I am. She's very fair, and she's actually my cousin twice, so we're very similar. And my dad came down the path, and he'd only seen me as a really baby, and he said, "Oh, I would know my little Rona anywhere." And he picked up Margaret. And that, I suppose, was just, I don't know how a 4.5-year-old feels, but it definitely affected me for years and years and years. And then I had the opportunity to have what is called healing of the memories. And this is telling you this to tell you how it works. The person who prayed for me, she said, "I want you to imagine we're standing on the steps, and you're now, I think I was 40, and so walk back to when you first became a Christian, a step for each year." So I went back till I was 12 when I became a Christian. And she said, "Can you see Jesus there with you? And can you visualize Jesus with you?" And so I visualized Jesus holding my hand as a 12-year-old and walking back to when I was 4.5. And I could actually visualize us sitting on the step. But this time I had Jesus sitting on the step beside me and Jesus holding me. And I saw my dad come, and it was like a TV replay, and pick up Margaret, and then I heard my mother say, "That's Lily's Margaret, this is Rona." But you know, somehow, because I had Jesus there with me, it took away all the, all the hurt and all the anger that had been there for 36 years. Yes, 36 years. And I can only tell you this because it's been healed. And now when I look back on it, I can see it differently. Okay, differently, but I see it as Jesus was there with me at that point. And then in the prayer ministry, because you're actually talking to the person who's doing it all the time, you walk back with Jesus to when you're 12 and then back to the present. And it's just an absolutely fantastic prayer experience. And it's changed. So that, I'm not saying do that. You need to be trained to do it, you know, but I'm just saying that is another thing that is available. And that's, and I do that. I mean, I can do that with people. David and I would do it. Facilitate people to get healing of memories. And they're usually very powerful things. The nearer they, the more powerful the memory, the hurt is if it's occurred when you're a child. That is the powerful stuff, and that's the stuff that needs healing to give us freedom in Christ. And then there's another thing that Christians fall into. They don't like to accept themselves. They can't accept themselves as they are and love themselves. I think it's a problem with non-Christians as well, but Christians have this. And this is also as though they're denying that God created them, God made them as he wanted them to be. And this is what a lot of people struggle with. And I mean, they often struggle with it over gifts. They can't understand why God hasn't given them certain gifts, and they wish they were someone else. And it's really damaging to our freedom with Christ, because we cannot grow, we cannot be the person God wants us to be, because we're hanging on to these three areas of things. And so hope, that's the only other verses that I want to share with you are from James. And James says, "Is any among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and you will be healed. The prayer of the righteous man has great power." And I think that's a wonderful thing to hang on to, that the prayer of the righteous man has great power. And the Lord answers our prayers. And really, that's what I would like to share with you. I believe that if we can begin to pray with real faith, that God will answer our prayers, we will see wonderful things happening in our churches. But we need to be bold. And we need, I mean, on Wednesday I prayed for somebody, and afterwards I thought, oh, now I've done it. What happens if he's not healed? And immediately the devil put into my thoughts, what happens if he's not healed? You've put yourself out on a limb. But we have a God who is just waiting to answer our prayers. And so we have to rebuke the devil for saying things like that to us. I don't know whether anybody would like to ask any questions or make any comments.
I'd like to ask Rona. I mean, I have prayed for healing for people, but I wouldn't say that I believe I have the gift of healing. So is that wrong?
Oh, no.
I mean, that was interesting to hear your, you know, where you discovered that you had the gift of healing. So,
but I had prayed for people before that.
Right, yeah.
But
and obviously for scripture there is a very specific gift which is for the gift of healing. And I mean, it's a whole area which I feel out of my depth in, but I have felt it right at various points to pray for people.
And I think you should pray for them. And I hope you'll always feel out of your depth for them. I hope you always will, because I always feel out of my depth. And I think, and that's why I say, why I said that when you pray for somebody, you have to listen to God telling you how to pray. And sometimes I'm just amazed how God, what God tells you to pray for, which doesn't necessarily feel right.
I shared this with the life group, but when my mother had cancer, and I didn't think it was right to pray for healing, but I prayed that she wouldn't suffer too much pain, and in the end she did just slip away without pain, and I didn't realise till after she died, and I was talking with my sister, she'd prayed exactly the same, the same way. Not that Mum would be healed, but that she would, you know, sort of slip away without too much pain. So I think the Lord does show you whether it's right or not.
Yes.
But on the other hand, He is the sovereign God, and He can do with us what He likes. And I don't think everyone we pray for will be healed, because, as I say, it's His right, His prerogative to heal or not to heal. But I'm sure when we do pray for people, it does release something into their heart and their life, whether they're healed or not.
Yes, I think so. I think you're right, Jean. And I have prayed for people with cancer, and what I pray for is that their body will start making healthy cells again. And you know, that is one thing that I have been led to pray for friends, and they have found that, and that the actual cells do start generating good cells again. And I think that's one way you can pray. And also, you've said it, that not everybody's going to be healed.
Not being one of the youngest people here, I have a few things I can help you with to assure you that God does hear and answer prayer.
Thank you.
My early days in the church was in Horsham in Sussex, and there were two very, what people would today call, radical pastor and wife. Now, of course, being a grammarian, radical means attached to the root, and it's sort of used in the wrong sense all the time, but that's not what I wanted to tell you. An uncle of mine, he was an engine train driver in the old days, and he got cancer, and he was in hospital away from, about 6 or 8 miles away from our hometown, and of course his wife visited him regularly, and obviously other people from the church and the ministers and what have you. Now, my aunt went there one day, and my uncle said to his wife, he said, "Kate, when you come next time, will you please bring my clothes?" He said, "Bring your clothes? Have you got cancer?" He said, "There is not a mark of cancer in my body any longer." So he went home. Now God does answer prayer in a very, very most difficult place.
Yes.
Time.
Praise the Lord.
I won't.
But I think the important thing is to say we have got to keep giving God the glory, and then this is a witness to other people as we tell the story.
I was going to say, but this one didn't come like that. Many of you will remember that back in the late 70s, early 80s, one of the international Christian leaders based in England was David Watson, the Anglican vicarage. He was taken seriously ill with cancer. John Wimber, the famous American preacher whose church had a healing ministry, flew over with a couple of the other elders of his church to pray for David Watson, who was a Christian. And it was reported in the Christian press first, and then of course it got into the normal tabloid press, that John Wimber had claimed that David healed. A few months went by and David Watson died. And John Wimber was interviewed again by one of the leading Christian magazines and said, "John, you were reported as saying David Watson is healed." He said, "That's not quite what I said. I did say I felt that as we prayed, God was doing something real in David's life. And I was trusting that he would be healed." So then the interviewer said, "Well, now, Mr. Wimber, you're famous for your healing ministry. David Watson didn't recover after you prayed for him. What are you going to do now?" And John Wimber said, "Well, I keep praying for people to be healed, because that's what we're called to do." And I've always remembered that and thought, I really admired him for the humility and the honesty. And it is a mystery, isn't it?
Yes.
Why some people don't get healed. And I know as a pastor, I've had people in a church that I was part of years ago who, when one of our church members died of cancer as a young man, age 41, the wife had a letter a few days after he died from someone not in our church, thankfully, saying, "I know why Gordon died, because you didn't have enough faith when you prayed for your husband," which was a horrible thing to say. But in the midst of that mystery, I believe God really wants us to keep on praying in faith, trusting God, and giving God the glory when he does heal. But it's a mystery that we won't really solve until we see Jesus face to face.
No.
I think we need to remember too that death is the most perfect healing that
yes.
there is.
Hallelujah.
One word that I'd like to pick up on that Tom mentioned just now and that I'd got from this evening a bit was that the humility. You know, trusting that when God tells you something that you should pray in this way for that person, trusting God, not thinking, "Oh no, I know better than that. Of course they're not going to get healed or whatever." Mm. And vice versa, when you're not hearing that, you know, you're not feeling that you've got that faith, not to pretend that you've got that faith. You know, just to accept. Okay, well, because believism is not faith, and I think God. You know, I can't know why God. I'm thrilled by reading about Paul and his thorn in his side. I think that's amazing. And I'm thrilled by the healings in the New Testament. And the important thing is to remain humble and obey God instead of putting our own desires or wants and things or failings or doubt above him.
Yeah, that's true.
But God has an agenda for people's lives. If he wants us to respond to that, that's what we should do. We don't need to know why. The only experience I've had of somebody being healed from me being directly involved was a friend. He injured his knee and twisted it it was painful. We felt it was right that I should pray for him. And it was healed like that.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, his wife was in hospital. Both our wives were expecting sex. And the baby was stillborn. She lost the baby. I think that the purpose of the healing was not that his knee was instantly healed, when it probably would have got better with time, but that was something that gave him an immediate trust and strength in God shortly after the period when they lost the baby. So that was part of the agenda for that.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that.
I think, a couple of experiences that were similar in a way. In one of the churches, in an after church fellowship one evening that was in our house, one of the church members stayed on, and I had been aware that she dabbled with the occult in the past, and occasionally she felt really threatened and oppressed by the memories and the power of Satan attacking her again. And Tom was in the kitchen washing up after all the cups, as he often does. And she stayed behind, and she looked dreadful, like she was gritting her teeth, and it was obvious that she was really having an internal battle. And I felt I needed to call Tom as well.
Mm. Yes, definitely.
And together we prayed with her, but we also went through the armour of God, putting on the armour of God, and quoted the scripture of putting on the helmet of salvation, and talking about that and saying, what does that mean? You know, we are saved, our thoughts are protected. And just outlining what we felt each piece of armour did. And we visibly saw that she relaxed, and she was willing to believe God's word for this.
Mm.
And there was another situation here in Forefront some time ago where someone who tried to look to God but was really oppressed, and we went through that again. I think Tom was with me at the time. He might have been in the background. And we just prayed in the front office there, knowing that God's word is powerful. And it did subdue the situation considerably at that time. But that was an experience that demonstrated to me how powerful the truth of God's word is in quite a nasty, threatening situation where you feel somebody's life is almost going to be out of control. You're not quite sure what's going to happen next. And, I thought, why in our house?
Yeah, I think that we did have a situation in Malaysia where someone came to see David and I because he had been baptized, and then he had gone home to tell his mother, and told his mother, and his mother said, I don't care if you are, whatever you do, that's not going to have effect, because when you were a baby I dedicated you to the God of anger. And you know, in the Methodist Church, because we were worshipping in the Methodist Church, originally there was a renunciation of, what is it, David? In the Baptism Service, the old Baptism Service.
Well, in the Anglican Church as well. There's a renunciation of any past allegiances.
Works of the devil.
So in fact, but in the new service that they had, this hadn't been included, so it hadn't been gone through. And so we just prayed for him until, you know, to break the power of Satan, and just as you would do with the occult too. And it is a reality. And I have friends in Malaysia, I don't know their detail, the story, but she every morning in her quiet time puts on the armour of God, because her family have been so involved with worship of idols. So we don't have, we must not take these things for granted. They will come.
Can I just share the end of the story that Tom was recounting? Mm-hmm. Because at the time when John came to see David Watson, we were living in York, and I was going to David Watson's church. Mm-hmm. And a few weeks later, David actually got up in the church on a Sunday morning, and he said that even though he'd not been healed, he knew that state hadn't been healed because he had a doctor's appointment in between. He said he knew God had changed him. He'd done something really different, because from the point when John prayed for him, he suddenly became at peace about the whole situation. At the time, he was writing his book, and he said he suddenly realized that what he was writing in the book, he had to change, because there was a lot of anger there in what he was writing. We now know that since David's death, more people actually come to the Lord through the book than actually came to the Lord.
It's amazing.
So even if we pray, if we don't see something happening that we expect to happen, we'd like to happen, don't be afraid to pray, because God can still be doing something different. Yeah. God could be doing something completely different that can have an even bigger effect than we expect.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for that. I do pray that this will encourage you to pray, but it also will encourage you to sort out things that, if you have things that are, you know, always coming back, recurring in your life, then you need to help to sort those out. You can seek help from your own church leaders or someone. Because God desires us all to have freedom to praise Him and worship Him and serve Him. And the important thing is He wants to just bless us in ways that we just cannot imagine, and take us really, move us really forward. And the reason for these gifts are so that the world outside can see what's happening in Christians and can be drawn in that way. Maybe we should close if nobody else wants to share anything.
Could we sing the song again?
All right, yes, we could. Still and know that I am God. Is still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. By saying the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.